This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode, episode number 94 of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know, we're looking at the start of the school year, and this is a time when your high school seniors are starting to think about where do they want to go to college, where are they going to apply, where are they going to get scholarship information and all the rest of that.
Hey, we're there again. Our fourth is a senior this year, and we're starting that whole process again.
Yeah. And you know, an interesting thing, we've had three graduates now, and they have each taken a very different direction with their college choice. Mm-hmm. We had one that went to a major, great, big, huge public university. We had one that got a scholarship and went to a small, elite, private liberal arts college. We've got another one who's going to a historical Christian college. They've all taken a very different course, and I think it's interesting that there were very good reasons for those decisions, and we agreed with those decisions at the time they had to be made. And we've got friends who would, you know, say, oh, there's only one option, or, you know, I've made up my mind on one school. And this episode, we'd like to talk a little bit about that process of making the decision with your eyes open. Because I think what we've learned from the experience of our sons is that there are pros and there are cons in all three options.
There really are. And, you know, also, Hal, when you're looking at choosing a college, you've got to look at more than one these days.
Mm-hmm.
The number of kids applying to college is the highest it's ever been in the past few years.
How many schools did you apply to?
I think maybe three.
I applied to one. I got an application from somewhere else, but, you know, I just assumed I was going to go to the college my dad graduated from, and they offered me a scholarship, and everything was sweet and copacetic.
But that's not the way it is now, especially if you need financial aid.
Mm-mm, no.
If you need a scholarship or financial aid, kids are applying to 8, 9, 10, 12 schools in order to get in where they want to get in and to get the financial aid they need.
You know, the old economics thing works out like they told us it would in class, because the free credit, the availability of student loans has encouraged colleges to run tuition up just unbelievably high. I mean, I remember when I went to college, now back when dinosaurs still ruled the earth, when I went to college, I got a full ride scholarship that would not pay for 6 months at a state college now.
The fees have gone up outrageously.
So financial aid is more important than ever before. And yeah, you're right. You're going to have to look at a lot of options. And that kind of keys into one piece of advice we gave our sons. We told them, son, do not give your heart to one school until the financial aid offers come in.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
That is, you know, it's...
And it's hard not to, because the schools woo them. You know, it's very much like a dating situation. You know, our guys laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dating this college this weekend. You know, everybody puts on their best behavior. The kids dress up. The college shows them all the good things and kind of ignores the bad part.
Yeah, and you don't invite a guest in and say, by the way, let me show you the leak in the basement now.
Yeah.
They don't do that. You know, it's obvious.
Yeah, let me give you a tour of the dorm that has no air conditioning and is 50 years old. No, they take you through the nice new dorm.
Right, they do. And so, okay, so let's look at these options now.
Well, before I look at that, can we talk just one more minute about this process of choosing?
Go ahead.
Because when you're looking at applying to colleges, the majority of the colleges you apply to need to fall in what we call a good match.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be a good match for the student academically.
Right.
And a good match for the student financially.
And a good match for what the student wants to study.
Right.
So you need to get something that's right there in the sweet spot, which you could go there and reasonably expect to succeed and be happy.
And to be able to afford to go there.
Right.
Now, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you find those things out? Well, you can go to the U.S. News and World Report. You can go to the College Board site and find out what the average SAT scores of admitted freshmen are.
Yeah.
That'll give you an idea if that's a good academic match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's several different books we'll share in the show notes that we use to find out if it was an ideological match.
Yeah.
But the majority should be a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you should also have a few dream schools.
You know,
one or two dream schools that, you know, maybe I would love to go there, but I don't know if I can get in academically, or I don't know if I can afford it.
And that might be the hope that you could go to Harvard.
Right.
But it might be, I just desperately want to go to my family's alma mater.
Right.
You know, it may be a dream to be able to afford that. And it doesn't have to be Ivy League. But yeah,
now
the dream
need,
school out there.
And you also need at least one safety, one or two safeties. A school that you're certain to be able to get into, that your scores
mm-hmm.
and your record is above their normal admitted freshman
and
average.
That might be one that's close enough that you could live at home and save
right.
on the dormitory expenses.
So
and
one you can afford, that you're sure
right.
to be able to afford and sure to be able to get into.
Right.
Very important that you have a safety there.
Okay, so you've got a safety, you got a few dream schools.
One or two dream schools, one or two safeties.
Yeah.
But mainly matches.
And mainly in that middle bandwidth of where do you think you'll fit in the best. Okay.
Right.
Now,
but when, once you've got
mm-hmm.
what you've got to decide, though, is what kind of colleges you want to look at.
And the picture, you know, the reality is very different than you might have expected. You know, and we'll talk about some of those details as we go through this. But a little bit of background. I went to a state college. It was not a huge state college at the time, and it's still not huge today. But it was a fairly, it was good size for the state I grew up in. And that was my experience. You went to the same college for a year, but then you transferred to a very different environment.
Yeah, I transferred to a Christian college, a very openly, self-consciously Christian college.
A very intentional,
yeah.
Yeah, faithfully evangelical kind of Christian college. Yeah.
Right.
And so we both have that firsthand experience of the state university environment, plus you've got the experience living at a Christian college.
And I went to an elite boarding school in high school, and so... You know, I have some of that experience with the elite private schools. That's where most of my friends went.
Right.
And
well, and we've got two sons now who've had a private college right. experience of one sort or another.
Right.
So we're basing this from firsthand observations, at least us or our children. Okay.
Right.
So let's start off with the Christian college option, because, you know, most of our listeners are going to be Christian homeschooling parents. And there are people out there that say, if you decide to go to college, and we're going to assume that you've made that decision, but if you're going to college, the only option available for a Christian is to go to a Christian college.
I don't think that's so.
I don't, you know what? I don't think so either. I appreciate the sentiment, but I don't think so. You know, the best of the Christian colleges are intentional. They're focused on integrating the Christian faith with the world of academia and scholarship, basically reclaiming all of knowledge for the kingdom of Christ. And that's a great thing.
It really is. And it's, you know, when I think back to my Christian college experience, I am so grateful for the theology that I had,
mm-hmm.
for the, you know, cross-cultural ministries, and for, you know, I majored in biology. I'm thankful for the Christian focus that I had in science.
Yeah, because I remember talking with you about that they taught you the whole bit of this is what's taught in evolutionary science. This is where that philosophy goes. Now, here is the creationist viewpoint, the biblical viewpoint. So you got the full picture. You got a balanced science instruction as opposed to a secular college, which would have cut out the you know, a priori, the idea that it could be a creator.
Yes, I felt like I got a much better and more balanced education.
And it's good. I think in this kind of a college, you're going to have a lot less penetration of the worldliness, both in the academic world and in the culture on campus.
And, you know, I think that's one of the biggest advantages of a Christian college is you got a large body of students that have mainly shared values. Now, I say mainly because there are plenty of kids at my college whose parents sent them there to straighten them out.
And that's going to be...
Because I served on the Student Judicial Council for a while, and so I got to meet all the troublemakers.
You met the trouble kids.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's not going to be a universally... safe environment there either.
But it will be, let's say on the whole, it will be safer.
Yeah. And you're, I think it may be a place that you're more likely to find a mate.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be exposed to more Christians of the opposite sex.
Okay. I think too, in a Christian environment, you're going to have a different kind of opportunity, not just extracurriculars, but, you know, like service opportunities, missionary trips, that, you know, opportunities to hear great Christian thinkers to come and speak. And this is a really good environment when it's done right.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed working one summer in an inner city ministry.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know that I would have even known about those opportunities if I'd gone to a secular school.
And you got to hear Francis Schaeffer speak, one of his last speaking engagements before he passed away. And, you know, I went to a very conservative, very friendly college, but I don't think Francis Schaeffer would have ever come to speak at our college. So, you know, those are all real pluses to the Christian college experience. Now, you found that even at a really good college, there were some things to watch out for.
There sure are. You know, it is very easy. It is shockingly easy to become complacent about those opportunities because they're there. They're all over the place. You're required to go to chapel. And so, naturally, you don't want to get out of bed and go to chapel. You know, and you, somebody else famous is coming to speak. Who cares? I've heard this all before. I remember
I got a project due and
I've got a test due and I'm gonna sit here and study for my test while I'm listening to this person speak. It's just easy to become complacent. You're surrounded by Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You're not embattled, at least not visibly. And so, you know, Satan has a couple of different ways of fighting with people. Sometimes he fights you openly, sometimes he just puts you to sleep.
Wow. You know, another thing, too, financial aid is a real struggle. I know we found that with our young guys because they applied at several Christian colleges. And just simply, there wasn't the financial aid.
Yeah, and that is a crying shame.
Yeah.
You know, it really should be that Christians so support Christian universities that Christian universities ought to be at the forefront of giving kids scholarships instead of at the back. And they're at the back.
Well, and frankly,
You are the least likely to get financial aid at a Christian university versus anywhere else.
Well, and part of it, too, is that a lot of them have made the principal stand that they're not going to accept federal student aid. So, like the Pell Grants, you know, that's just foundational to most students. They're going to get a Pell Grant for $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a semester or whatever it comes out to. And so, you know, places like Hillsdale College, like Grove City College and others have said, you know what, if you take federal money, you invite federal interference, and we're going to keep our independence for the sake of what we're standing for.
And a lot of them have worked really hard to keep expenses low, but they're still very high compared to most people's lives.
Yeah.
And if you're middle class, Christian college is going to be the most expensive route to go.
Yeah. Now, another thing, just reality, they're small private colleges, and there's some majors that are hard to find.
Yeah. If you want to major in engineering, you're going to have a hard time finding a Christian college. There are a few.
There's maybe 10 or 12 in the U.S. that have any kind of engineering.
Right, versus 10 in Eastern North Carolina of secular schools that have engineering.
Right, and so that's a, you know, that's a reality as well. Although, if you want to study liberal arts, if you want to study, you know, education or business or the pure sciences, if you want to study chemistry as opposed to chemical engineering, generally, you can find that at most Christian colleges.
Right.
So those are, you know, it's not a lost cause. Now, one thing that this is a big, big trap, though, we found this out looking around. There's a lot of colleges who are Christian historically, but in name only.
Oh, that is the truth. We have a son at one right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's a solid believer and he's a light on that campus. But his campus is a pretty dark place because a Christian college that has gone liberal, that has left its first love, is really, I think, more hostile to Christianity than a secular college.
Yeah, because I think that they are intentionally striving for the acceptance of the world. And you know what it says in the scriptures about being friends with the world? You put yourself at enmity with God.
Yeah.
And so you need to, especially since you're going to be making sacrifices to attend a college with a Christian label, you need to be sure that what's in that package is what you really expected.
Right.
And so that's something to be very, very aware of. Not everything that is, you know, has a Christian name. It calls itself Christian.
And
truly
even if
is.
It has chapels and has chaplains and all kinds of other things, that doesn't mean it's really a Christian college. And, you know, and you may choose to go there anyway for other reasons. You know, our son knew that going in.
Right.
But he went to that college for different reasons, and he's doing fine.
Yes.
But you need to be aware of that. You also need to be aware that not all Christian colleges are accredited. And if you're going into a field that requires licensure, such as engineering, teaching, some other things that require license or licensure, you may have a struggle ahead of you if you go to a non-accredited school.
And I think that Christian colleges that are faithful to the teachings of Scripture are going to have to fight to maintain accreditation in the years ahead.
Hell, we had to fight it 30 years ago. When I was in college, there was a huge accreditation battle over my Christian college. And I was part of the student committee that the accreditation committee interviewed. And, you know, it was specifically over our biology curriculum. And, you know, and I told them that I'd been to a state college, and I felt like we were getting a fairer, more balanced presentation of the material.
Right.
And they ended up giving us our accreditation. But I think that those problems are going to get worse.
Well, I think in the wake of the Obergefell decision this summer, we've already seen colleges who are being told, you know what, if you don't accept same-sex couples in your married student housing, if you don't hire and retain professors who have come out and are openly gay or lesbian, you know, I don't care if you say it violates Scripture, it violates your statement of faith. If you don't do it, you're not going to get the benefit of federal assistance, of regional accreditation, these kind of things. This is going to be part of the battleground. So you just need to take that into account, that that is a reality. It's a fight that's going to happen. Okay, so just be aware. Don't stumble into it and then say, oh, I had no idea.
And so, short version.
Yes.
Christian schools, if they are faithful to their first love.
And they are out there.
And they are out there, are great for having a lot of Christians on campus, a good social environment, and for having professors that are going to be interested in discipling you and not indoctrinating you.
Ooh.
And so, you know, that's great. There, financially, it's likely to be a problem. Watch out for the ones that have lost their first love. Watch out for for issues with them not having the right majors or not being accredited.
Okay. So that's the good and the bad.
Okay.
Now,
let's talk about public universities.
Yeah, let's go to the other end. Let's go to the evil public universities.
But they're not.
Not necessarily. You know, they are usually, well, let's start right off. They're usually going to be your cheapest alternative.
Yes.
You know, they, particularly if you're going in-state, a place like North Carolina has it in the state constitution that the university system has to keep its tuition as low as possible. Okay, so we have huge state tax subsidies to the university system here. And
that, you know, have boys, I want them to have that degree because if they ever have to work for someone else, that can make a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, my mom was the CEO of our family's chain of ladies' clothing stores after my father died.
Yeah.
When she decided it was too much stress and got rid of the business and began working for somebody else, she couldn't get higher than assistant manager in one store. She'd been CEO of a chain of stores because she didn't have a degree. That's crazy, but that's life.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you know, the big universities have all of the majors. You've got more options there. Now, one thing I found, like I said, I went to a big, you know, for the area, a big university. They had a very strong and I would say a missional Christian community on campus.
That's where I was discipled.
That's where I was saved at that university, and I was discipled at that university.
I grew more in that 1 year that we were there together at that state college in a couple of fantastic Christian groups than I had my whole life before that.
You know, here's another thing, too. Now, it's true that the big colleges oftentimes harbor some really offbeat, really bizarre kind of teaching in certain departments, but usually there's so many members of the faculty that you can kind of pick and choose your coursework.
Yeah, like, always go out to Rate My Professor or one of the other sites where you get real-life comments from students, and you can really quickly pick out what professors you want to avoid and which ones you want to take.
You know, I studied engineering, okay, and engineering is pretty straightforward. If you have fantasies about math, your bridges fall down, okay?
Right.
But there was one professor who was a militant atheist, and I thought, I don't need to have that fight. And so I just didn't take courses that he offered.
Right.
You know? And so you can do that at a larger school where you have choices on your coursework.
It's also, you know, large state school, it's more likely to, there's so many people, it's more likely you're going to find somebody you can be friends with, somebody you can roommate with, be roommates with.
Yeah.
You've just got a larger selection. Also, often those are the ones that are nearer to our homes that they might be able to live at home if they need to.
And you know what? The fact that you know, hey, I'm in a big secular world. I see the impact of this secular humanist viewpoint on the lives of the students around here. I got to be serious about my faith.
Well, I think it tends to make Christians more serious about their faith.
Yeah.
Because they're embattled, you know, because they know they've got a battle ahead of them. You know, they
got a testimony to maintain.
Yeah, they've got to. And so lots of times you'll find some strong Christian groups on campus. Now, even those, though, have been harmed by our culture's shallowness and self-seeking behavior. And even a lot of the traditionally strong evangelical student groups have gotten soft.
That is true. And we've seen that, you know, our sons have had some experience with that, that there's some of the big national ministries that have swung so hard to try to be welcoming to everybody and non-judgmental of everything that they're starting to lose their grip on the foundations of the faith.
And so let's talk about some of the cons of the public universities, Hal.
Well, okay. You know, they're secular, and that right there says we're cutting God out of our thinking. And so in many public universities, there is some, if not indifference, there's active hostility toward a Christian viewpoint, toward a student who comes in with beliefs that don't mesh with popular opinion at the moment.
And that can make, you know, just in general, campus life can be challenging for Christians. Christian organizations may not be able to get the funding that others do. Some of them may not be allowed on campus, especially with this new Obergefell decision.
Yeah.
If they don't allow people in open sin into leadership. And just you're going to be confronted with people who dress very differently.
People who pursue different lifestyles.
Yeah.
Who
present, all over the place.
Yeah. And that's an eye-opener and an education in itself. And you've got to be ready to deal with that.
You got to have a kid mature enough to stand for his faith.
One thing that I find really disturbing in a lot of the public universities is that this pursuit of the political correctness of the moment, whatever the current trends are, is overriding both the academic freedom of the professors to teach and to stand on the tenets of Western civilization and the rest of that.
Yeah.
But it's also overriding individual freedoms and even legal process in a lot of cases. And so it really is a battleground.
Yeah.
And I don't think Christians should abandon the public universities yet.
No.
But you need to realize going in, this is not the school that your dad graduated from.
Although, you know what? Our kids have had more problems with other kids than they have with the professors.
Well, it is a social thing.
Because I think a lot of professors are so grateful to have a student who takes learning seriously and who shows up for class on time and is awake and asks questions, that even a liberal professor will love a conservative student if he's passionate about the subject.
There you go. Okay, so pros and cons in the public world. Actually, there are some positives.
Yeah, usually it's the cheapest alternative. It's often the closest alternative.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of majors, engineering, whatever you need to major in is going to be there.
Oh, you know, but one of the things about the majors too, be aware of this, that a lot of the public universities still have courses, in fact, quite a lot of courses, that are really unmarketable. They're very trendy. You want to go major in this studies or that
studies or
whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fluffy courses there, which you can spend, you can go into debt to $100,000 to get a degree that will only get you a $25,000 job.
Yeah, don't do that.
And they'll do it. They'll let you do it.
Yeah.
So be aware that kind of trap is there.
Large group of professors, large group of students makes it easier to find ones you can get along with.
Right.
Cons, sometimes there's active hostility in the faculty.
Yeah.
Active hostility among students toward Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Political correctness running rampant.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go to the other one, the one in the middle, the private college, the private university. There's lots of, we call them LACs, liberal arts colleges.
Yeah. And these are more the elite, the private colleges, although there's some lower level ones, but they may have a Christian background, but they're not really Christian colleges.
You know what? We found a, let's say, a Christian-oriented worldview. It wasn't a biblical worldview necessarily, except that it came from an older ethos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I know some of the
tradition
ones.
Tradition is big at these private liberal arts colleges.
I mean, I could name you a handful of them right off the top of my head just in the state of Virginia, because there's this old, you know, tradition of being a gentleman, of being an honest person, of, you know, the honor code is everything. And you know, a Christian student can fit into that. Yes. And be comfortable, you know, knowing that it's not, okay, it's not biblical. They're not going to expect me to have devotions every morning, but they do expect me to behave in a certain way.
Although sometimes the hypocrisy of it will drive a Christian wild.
That is,
if you don't scan your dining room card, mm-hmm. and you eat an apple off somebody else's tray, you can get kicked out for violating the honor code, but you won't get kicked out for violating the honor code for drinking underage, even though that's illegal.
Yeah, and that is true, because you know what, man-made ethical systems have holes in them like right. that. So that does happen.
Now, a couple of advantages, though, of the private colleges is lots of times they have massive endowments. And many of them have gone to a no-loan system, mm-hmm. where they promise to meet whatever financial need you have in grants that you don't have to pay back.
And that this is an amazing truth, because I know with one of our students, as we were going through the process and, you know, cooking all the numbers down, we realized that for him to live at home and go to the big state university 30 miles away was going to cost more out of pocket than for him to go to the elite private college he eventually went to in another state.
One of the top 15 colleges in the nation.
Which, if we were writing the checks, would have been like $54,000 a year.
Yeah.
And he went there on full ride scholarship because they were rolling in endowments.
They do.
And so don't look at it and say, we can't afford a private college. You know, no, you can't afford a private college if you have to write the check, but look at the financial aid.
Because if you're middle class, probably the private college is going to be the cheapest alternative.
You know, something that works for homeschoolers is when you run the numbers, the world doesn't realize, the world just simply doesn't believe that you can have a family with six children on the kind of income most of us have.
You sometimes know, I don't believe it either, you know, but the world, it works.
I mean, yeah, because you look at some of the financial aid paperwork that you do for federal loans and such like that, and it's like they look at the family with six children and say, oh, you got to be earning $200,000 a year or you're dirt poor. No, but that's the math that goes through the process.
Now, a couple of other advantages. Lots of times, very small class sizes. Professors are very interested in students, want to help students. There's a strong alumni network. Mm-hmm. That will help you find jobs.
Yeah.
You know, there's some of these private schools, if you find an alumni of your school working somewhere, you just have to let them know you want a job. And they will get you in for an interview.
Yeah. And there's a certain prestige attached to a lot of these schools.
Yeah.
Well, you know, which really far outweighs how selective they are. It's a traditional school. You know, some in my home state, I know I've heard the same kind of thing from people that went to, like, for example, the Citadel.
Right.
It's just one, the military college in South Carolina, just because that is such a shared experience that if you graduate from there, you're in,
right.
You know? And so it's kind of interesting. You kind of buy into a culture in a way in a right. private school that you don't do at a big university. Now,
there's some cons to the private schools.
Well,
you know, some of the same challenges uh-huh. in classroom and culture in the public universities, in fact, more so in the really elite ones. Because that's where the really crazy professors end up sometimes.
Yeah, and sometimes the old school traditions are some of the things which really should have been reformed a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, to say, well, it's just expected that a gentleman can hold his liquor.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Especially not one who's 18 in a state where it's 21. Okay,
right.
But that's some of those things.
And a smaller faculty can make it harder to avoid the crazy professors.
I know, like... our son that's currently in college is in a department that I think that has three professors.
Yeah.
You know, there's a conservative, there's a liberal, and there's one who kind of waffles around in the middle. He doesn't really have a choice which one teaches a course.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is a fact. And
sometimes the same major thing you see in the Christian colleges, there mm-hmm. may not be, some degrees may not be available.
Well, it just takes a lot of investment to put together something like an engineering program.
Right.
There's a lot of equipment. A lot of computer power and such that it's just very expensive to set up.
I think probably the biggest downside to the elite private colleges, though, Hal,
yeah.
is that the social atmosphere can be very cliquish. And mm-hmm. that's hard for a homeschool kid where we come from. In our homeschool group, there are people literally on food stamps and people that are literally millionaires.
In the same support group.
In the same support group, nobody thinks twice about it.
That's right.
And, you know, yet at the elite...
We are truly a democratic movement. And that's something I just love about the socialization of homeschoolers is so awesome because they're not put aside by, you know, either people who are up or people who are down. They're just people. And that's great. And guess what? You get back into some of these, well, you get back into the world and that's not the case.
It can be really challenging for an ordinary kid from a homeschool middle class family to find himself at a rich man's school where people are just not going to understand it if you can't go out to eat whenever you want to or do whatever you want to.
What do you mean we can't afford to go play golf with us every Sunday?
Yeah, you know.
And that's
it can be hard. That can be really hard.
And you have that's something that you have to be willing to stand and say, hey, I am who I am. I'm not you. My dad is not rich. And I'm here for an education.
And that might mean you're ostracized.
That happens.
Yeah. And so there are advantages and disadvantages to Christian, public, and private colleges.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can say this is the best or this is the only way. I think it's going to vary depending on the student and what they want to major in and what your financial circumstances are.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend that you look at all three and you consider them, consider the financial aid packages, consider the options, and I think it's going to differ.
You know, one thing that's very, very important is a serious, steely-eyed college visit.
Yes.
And we've got another episode of this podcast, and I'll put the link on the show notes.
Yes.
Go back and listen to that because that college visit is going to open your eyes to say, is this really a Christian school? Is there an underlying social thing which I need to be concerned about? You know, when you go into, for example, you go into a school that has a historic Christian background, but you look through the student union and the ads on the bulletin boards are all full of double entendres and sexual awareness weeks and stuff like that. This doesn't look like the bulletin board in our Sunday school building, does it? You know, and you realize that there's a disjunction between what seems to be on the sign and what's actually going on in the culture.
In the show notes, Hal, let's link our episode making college visits count.
Yes.
The episode we did on staying Christian in college and the episode we did on academic success in college.
Consider it done. You know, there's a couple of things too. And I know we're running a little bit over on time, but this is really important. You know, I think we need to, as we go into this with our young people, it's a decision they're going to have to live with. You know, it's their life they're going to have to live. And, you know, it's not that important in the long term that they go to our dear old alma mater.
Right.
I mean, that'd be great. But you know, colleges are like rivers.
They
change with each passing year. And the college you went to is not the college that your kids are applying to today. And maybe it's gone a place you didn't want it to.
And you need to take a real hard look on where your child is academically.
Yeah.
And socially. And most important, spiritually.
Yeah, you've got to really ask yourself and be honest with yourself and with your student. Is this a peer-driven student? I mean, are they really hungry for peer approval? You might really want to go the Christian college route for that.
Or keeping them close to home where you can keep an eye on them and help them out.
And encourage them.
And disciple them through it.
Yeah.
Where they can maybe stay in your church.
Yeah, okay. And that's an important thing. You know, are your young people ready to work with people from different backgrounds? You know, is your student going to absolutely freak out if they have to work with a non-believer or if they have to work with somebody who has a radically alternative lifestyle, fill in the blank as you choose, you know, can they be colleagues? It doesn't mean you have to, you know, be the closest of buddies with them and affirm everything they say, but just are you able to work with them in a civil manner?
Those are things we need to be working toward with our kids.
Because that's the real world.
It is.
We are in the world. We're not of the world, but we are in the world.
And so we need to be intentionally training them through the teen years how to stand up for Christ, how to work with people without buying everything that they sell.
And realize that you choose your battles.
Yeah.
And that you communicate truth in relationship.
Yes.
You don't blow them up the first time you come in and see the
truth in love.
See the tattoos and the body piercings and the cross dressing and all that. You know, if you don't have enough of a relationship that they know that you respect them as a creature of God, as somebody that God has created and put here for a purpose, if they don't see that kind of respect, they're not going to pay attention to what you say.
And you know what? They might be surprised because that person with the body piercings and the tattoos may be a better Christian than they are.
We've met that too.
Yeah. And that's so true. We need to be preparing our kids for this. We need to be preparing them to stand. Mm-hmm. Because when they leave my home, I want them to leave an adult. And, you know, we need to be preparing them for adulthood. We need to help them, help them make the transition.
Right. And talk them through those challenges as they meet them.
It's real important to help them find a church, help them find a student's Christian group.
That is a crucially important. And it doesn't matter if they're going to the most conservative Christian college on the map or if they're going to the most liberal college. They need to get connected with a church and a Christian discipleship ministry on campus the first 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Because you know what? What we've seen and what our sons who've been involved with these things have seen is if those incoming freshmen don't get connected up in the first 3 weeks that they're on campus, they drift off.
They fall away.
They form other friendships and they get other allegiances, and our enemy is very happy to lead them all out from the flock.
They get messed up and mixed up.
And so the first, even change. Change after a month if you need to. Hey, this is not the right church for me or whatever. But get them going to church and get those habits established early.
Yeah.
That is so crucially important. Anything else we need to add on this?
I don't think so. You know, this bears more discussion. Maybe we should talk some more about this fall.
Mm-hmm.
But pray.
Pray lots.
And prepare them and get ready and prepare them to stand. You know what? Our kids can leave our homes when they're 18 or 19. As warriors, prepare to stand, prepare to fight the world, and can stand firm. We've seen it, folks. It can happen.
And you know what? You don't start training them when they're 17.
No, you don't.
You need to start when they're 5.
Yeah.
Or 8. Or 10. And use those teen years to get them ready to step out and to be men or women when they leave your home.
That's right.
And this college experience is a big part. It's kind of the big test when they graduate from your home.
And it is a test. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's hard no matter where you go. It's harder some places than others. But you know what? They can do this. Help them, prepare them, answer their questions, disciple them, take them through some apologetics, get them ready.
Right. Okay, well, look, we appreciate your time, and thank you for the indulgence for a little few extra minutes here. But you know what? Come to look at the show notes. Go to halandmelanie.com/radio, and you can just search down here for this episode. This is episode number 94 on choosing a college, and you'll see in our show notes we're going to have links to these other episodes where we talk about making college visits that count, keeping your Christianity alive when you're in college, and just being a successful student. Okay, those are important episodes. You want to check those out. And we hope that you'll join us again. We're here every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Talk to you later, folks.
Great. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/AlanMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.